When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I think staying on top of the mountain is just has totally different challenges and expectations than when you're climbing it. But at the same time, I love being where we're at. I love having that challenge.
We're back for another week of Culture OS with our host of the series, Rob Pomazak, who's the head coach at St. Charles North in Illinois. And this week we have a conversation with Brad Spencer, who's been a previous guest on the podcast. He has national championships under his belt, has done a tremendous job at North Central College. And he's somebody who Rob has seen really grow up from being the guy who was the student athlete to now the guy running the program. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about Brad Spencer, especially from your perspective, because you've seen it a lot differently than I have with just a guest on the show.
Yeah, Brad is a unique individual and probably one of the coaches that I respect most in this profession. And our relationship goes back. I was a graduate of North Central around 2000, and Brad came in right as I was exiting. So I kind of saw him as a football player and then taking this journey as a wide receivers coach, and then moving up to offensive coordinator and then assistant head coach, and then finally taking the helm when Coach Thorne left, and then watching him through that transition and then into those big ticket items like national championships, I just thought was such a unique experience. And also knowing him from the recruiting trail, because he's the regional recruiter in our area, just knowing that he hasn't changed from a value standpoint was something I kind of wanted to dive into with him. And he really enlightened me. Like he just kind of went to great lengths to explain his personal philosophy of leadership. And I was really impressed with, you know, one of the things he said about, you know, faith, family, and academics. And that's been something that has been true to his heart as a recruiter, but also now as a head football coach. It was a lot of fun and I learned a ton.
And we'll be back after the interview to discuss some of the takeaways from this one, but another great one. Get your notebook out, get your pens ready. Here's Rob's interview with Brad Spencer, head coach at North Central College. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158. Or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes.
All right, I am super excited to have our next guest on Culture OS. He is multiple national champion head coach of Division III North Central College, Brad Spencer. Brad, thank you so much for spending time with us today on Culture OS. It's great having you.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Excited to be on and appreciate you guys covering North Central College football.
Well, as an alumnus of NCC and didn't play football, but it was the baseball program. Another great head coach in Ed Mathey. But I've seen what you guys have done from afar. I've also had the privilege of kind of having a backstage pass to see what you guys do, both schematically but also culturally. And it's second to none at any level. And just a little bit about Coach Spencer. He's, you know, he was a state champion, a wide receiver at Naperville Central, came to North Central, played wide receiver, broke all the school records. And then people look at his head coaching career and see an unbelievable amount of success. But there was a lot that built up to that. He was a wide receivers coach for a few years, starting in 2004, became the offensive coordinator in 2005, and then took over the reins at North Central in 2022, and has proven to be an amazing head football coach with two national championships, three consecutive national championship appearances. Is that correct, Coach? Four now. I'm sorry, I lost count. But my initial question, I always try to look back and see where coaches have came from, because when people look at the other end of the rainbow where you're sitting right now as a head coach, they feel like it might have been an easy path. But when you look at your 20 plus years of coaching and what you've done, it's not an immediate success. It's been a journey. How have those first 15 years of your coaching journey prepared you to be the head coach at North Central and bring in the culture that you did?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, first of all, I'd point out that, you know, I'm very aware that I was and have been fortunate to be in the same program and work under John Thorne and Jeff Thorne as head coaches. Those are the only two bosses that I've had. I mean, when John was the head coach, Jeff was the OC, and I coached receivers. And then when Jeff took over as the head coach in 2015, I was able to become the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator. You know, and I'm very, very aware that I took over a program that I was familiar with, having been an alum, but also being in the program for 18 years before I became the head coach. And obviously there'd been a foundation that was set and, you know, philosophies were in place, and they're very much ones that I'm in alignment with. That's a given since I've stayed here all those years, you know. And then when you become head coach, you can, you know, just kind of make it your own, you know, adjust things here and there so that it fits your lifestyle or kind of your direction where it need be. But, you know, the philosophy that John started in 2002 when I was a player of faith, family, and academics, and wanting to bring this philosophy statement to college and win at the highest level while essentially just doing the right things off the field. That was always our motivation as a player. And then in 04, when I became the receivers coach, we always wanted to build this thing and do it the right way, treat people the right way, have kids sitting in the front of the classroom saying hello and goodbye to professors, picking up the classroom. You know, our standards, you know, have obviously continued to rise. You know, anytime you're meeting your standard year after year, those just become expectations. And so then you need to push that standard. And, you know, we've been able to do that over the last essentially 24 years. Certainly the last 5 years have seen some considerable jumps, playing in the last four national title games. And, you know, you're right. There's no easy way to get to where we got to. It's just a lot of hard work by a lot of people, staff and players included. That's the main ingredient you need, is guys that are willing to work. And, you know, I remember my first couple of years recruiting. I always had DuPage and Kane County, so the area right around our school, that's always the hardest place to recruit. I mean, I remember, you know, kind of having to beg and plea to get into the high school of my alma mater, Naperville Central, to talk to certain kids that were that were really, really good football players, that maybe had some other opportunities at higher levels, but I just really wanted to have a chance to just talk to them and recruit them. Same with Naperville North and Neuqua Valley, you know, and some of our best players that we've ever had have been from those schools. Either they came here right away, or maybe they took a scholarship and then they transferred back in you know, 6 months later. You know, Brock Rutter's one of them from Neuqua. He was a Gagliardi Trophy winner, one of the three out of the last 4 years that we've had, which is the Division III Heisman. He was a kid that, you know, Coach Ellinghaus at Neuqua, he was my freshman baseball coach at Naperville Central, actually. He's always been great to me, and we knew Brock was going to get money, but I went over. I just wanted to talk to him and DJ Workenthien. DJ came to us right away, and he's actually one of our full-time coaches now. You know, and Brock was kind of a situation where it's just, hey, congrats. I know you're going to get some bigger scholarships, but this is what we do. This is what we're about. If you're ever unhappy, call us. And 6 months later, he's in spring ball with us. You know, Jordan Tassio at Naperville North, he was player of the year in the state of Illinois. It was the same situation. I had recruited his receiver, Steve Lavick, the year before, and Steve was ended up being a four-year starter in baseball and football at North Central. And Jordan and his family were great friends with him. Eventually, Jordan came to us and, you know, was an all-conference running back for us. But I remember those days where it was really, really hard, you know, to talk to the local kids to get them to come over here. And, you know, obviously now we're in a different place, and we've had many Naperville or local kids from whether it's Wheaton or from the Glenbards, Bolingbrook, but it wasn't always that way. There's certainly a lot of steps you have to take. And that's probably perhaps one of the reasons I never left. You know, when I started in 04, I didn't necessarily set out and say, I want to be a head coach at North Central one day. I just every day wanted to be the best at my position and my role, whatever it was, you know, and just kind of rely on my faith and where I thought God wanted me to be. And, you know, anytime other opportunities came up to have, you know, that next title or that next position or that next salary, they just never seemed right. Felt like God was always saying, stay where you're at, you'll be rewarded. And it's kind of funny how usually pretty quickly after that, I would get whatever that title was at North Central, you know, which is, you know, ultimately where I wanted to be. And then that just keeps happening. And then eventually in 2022, I became the head coach when Jeff Thorne left for Western Michigan and, you know, could take it over and had 18 years at that point of seeing how things were done. So there's a lot of blood in the bricks, so to speak, as your former coach here, Ed Mathey, says, who's also an alum of North Central. You know, so you feel like you kind of know the ins and outs. Nice thing about taking over a program you've been at is, you know, there's no introduction for the administration or the players or, you know, how the school works, how financial aid works there, admission works there. You know, I was very familiar with it. I had been the recruiting coordinator in my time. You know, John and Jeff were both very generous in giving me responsibilities. My 18 years, 20 years now, I've worn just about every hat you can as a football coach, as a college coach. You know, so you draw on those experiences to then formulate what you want your plans and recipes to be for each different part of the program so that you can coach your coaches and your coordinators in the different areas.
You touch on so many great things, and I appreciate you going to that length and depth of not only your journey, but also the process of bringing North Central College into the elite status that it is as a football program, because you touch on all of these different little aspects and contributions that you had to make and go through, you know, relying on your faith and trusting the position that you're in and that good things are going to happen and doing your very best daily. I really respect you as a head coach because I've watched you in the most crucial of situations. Games are on the line. I've met you personally, and your demeanor always seems to be very calculated and on point and calm. And I've talked to some of your former players, and that never wavers. And I'm always looking to tap into people who have that ability to be the horizon line for their program. How do you keep that level of composure? That operating system that you provide on the sidelines is one of the tactical advantages that I believe your program has, is that your players know they can look to the sideline and have somebody who is under control, believes in what they're going to do, and also has the wherewithal to execute from a technical aspect of X's and O's. Where do you pull that from? where was that derived from in you?
I mean, I appreciate that, Rob, and I'll, you know, go back to one of my early years coaching. You know, I think Jeff was the offensive coordinator at the time and his dad was the head coach, and we were having an offensive staff meeting, and Jeff just kind of reassured all of us, like, hey, you've got to coach how you coach. You know, you don't need to try and coach how I do or anybody else does. I thought that was good affirmation at the time to just be who you are. You know, every coach is going to coach different. When I took over, readily said, like, I'm not trying to be John Thorne. I'm not trying to be Jeff Thorne. I'm not trying to be Nick Saban. I've got to do this how I do it. I mean, if you watch Hard Knocks, you can see Coach McDaniels of the Dolphins. He's very much unapologetically himself, you know, and that works for him. It's not going to work for the next guy or the next guy, just like how I am, you know, works for me. I think the advantage of it is it does allow your players to know where you're going to be at. They know how I'm going to be and what they can expect. I think also, you know, it's funny because recruits' families will ask, you know, what's your style of coaching? How do you coach? And, you know, they can ask our players and, you know, eventually kind of that'll get back to me what they say. You know, and one of them had said something to the effect of, yeah, he's calm like this most of the time. And if he's not, you know, something's wrong and we need to fix it right away. And I guess that's just my style of coaching, whether it's been like that since I've been a receivers coach. I think as you grow as a coach, you obviously become more confident to use your voice in different ways when you need to, you know. But for me, I think I know I operate best if my demeanor is a more flat one. And I think part of that was learned, you know, as an offensive coordinator, when you're in the press box, you know, you're away from all the craziness, the madness, the yelling. You can always take your headset off and don't hear anything. I'm not saying that that's necessarily what I needed to do, but, you know, when you're up there, you can, you know, have your notes, you have everything in front of you, and you can just learn how to slowly manipulate or go about your process of play calling and breaking down a defense. And so I think part of it comes from that, you know, just spending so many years, you know, most of my years as a coach here at North Central were spent in the press box. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say we're a product of our surrounding, you know, when I'm talking about, you know, our players and where they come from. Some kids have like four varsity coaches. Some have a position coach at every position. So they're all a product of that, you know, just like I'm going to be a product of, you know, my coaching background, you know, and I get jokes about it. You know, one of our alums sent me, there's an article written after we won the national title in 2022, and our running back, Ethan Greenfield, had a long run down the sideline. I think he's running over a defensive back at Mount Union during it. And you kind of see everybody going crazy, and I'm kind of like in the background holding my play call sheet, just calmly watching it. And, you know, he edited the photo and circled it in the text. He put typical Spencer here, you know. And
right.
So, yeah, I guess that's how I am. Yeah. I think, you know, maybe the calmness on the outside doesn't really reflect the drive or the passion, determination, you know, that's inside to win and win at the highest level. You know, I think one thing I found out going to, you know, previous national titles is once you go, it's always harder to get back and to stay at that level. But I think your drive to be at that level becomes even greater. You almost become obsessed with it.
Sure.
So I think the I try and put that energy and excitement and enthusiasm at prepping our coaches, prepping our team, practice planning and game planning. That's kind of where, you know, I put all my energies and excitement. And then, you know, as a head coach, obviously you're going to have times talking with your team that you need to be able to, you know, quote, be on. And so, you know, I save the hollering for those moments when you really need to get the attention of the team, you know, in practice and during games. You know, I like to have fun with the guys and joke with them, put my arm around them, you know, try and keep them positive, keep them up, you know, because I want our players to operate in an atmosphere where they feel comfortable to take risks, to try and make plays, to play above themselves. And, if I'm going to get them to do that, then I need to create that atmosphere myself where they feel comfortable to do that. If I say I want them to do that, but then I'm not acting in a way that's creating that atmosphere, it's going to be very hard for them to do that if they feel,
for sure,
you know, constrained or handcuffed or worried about
the response that they're going to get from their head coach.
Yeah. And, you know, part of it is, you know, the foundation of our program has been relationships ever since, you know, John was the head coach and then Jeff was the head coach. Relationships was paramount. And, you know, that just fits, you know, for me, that fits into, you know, kind of who I believe I am and my purpose on earth as a Christian is to, you know, build relationships with those around me and hopefully help them to get a look at, you know, what it is to be a Christian. And if I can lead them to God one way or another, then I'm doing, you know, my part as a Christian. But if not, you know, building those relationships with them and teaching them how they can treat others and treat others as themselves, I think is just why we're on earth. And I think for a program, it can go a long way as well, because if you have a coaching staff, you have players that love each other and want to play for each other. Now they've got a cause bigger than themselves. That's always going to drive you further. You know, this as a parent, Rob, I mean, that's going to drive you further and, you know, harder than any other motivator that there is.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I mean, there's so much to unpack there, Brad. Like, the first thing I look at is just the idea of knowing thyself, right? Like, as a coach, like, that is such an important aspect. And when you alluded to, it's, I know when I operate the best. And that's such a simple statement, but so many times we go to our default mechanism, even though we know our initial response is not how we operate best. And it could be an elevated voice. It could be, you know, getting stressed out on the sidelines. But your ability to be so self-aware to know how you operate the best and having the discipline to keep yourself in that mode is extremely intentful. And I think from an operating system, like, the sideline demeanor is an operating system. The way that your staff conducts themselves is something that should be discussed as a unit. And then you talk about knowing what the players are going to get each and every day. And I think that's such an important note, because as players, no player wants to walk onto the practice field not knowing what type of coach Spencer is going to be out there that day. You know, they want to know the guy that they, if like you said, if you're not in character, they know something's up. And I've actually talked to some of your players, and that is spot on what they said. Spot on. Like, they said, we know what we're going to get with coach. And if something's not right, we're going to know that he's going to let us know we're going to have to fix it. And then your ability to kind of maintain that during the course of the game is really, really, it's as a head football coach, it's something I aspire to do. I sometimes fail miserably at it. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to discuss it with you, because I'm always interested. And then you kind of talked about, you know, you kind of glossed over. It's just so many good nuggets here. Don't let the outside demeanor not like don't see the outside demeanor and don't think that I'm not competitive on the inside and absolutely competing daily in every system of the program as a head football coach. And I think some of us maybe listening to this oftentimes feel like we have to show outwardly how much we care so that other people believe it. At least maybe that's just me. But like when you talk about that internal drive that you have and then the discipline to kind of stay in the moment, stay controlled, stay composed, I cannot help but think that that is such a huge tactical advantage and one of the reasons why your program has been so successful under your tenure, because your players talk about it. And when your players talk about it, that speaks volumes to you. So, I mean, what a great answer. Thank you for giving us that much depth, Coach. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's if the players are saying it, it's culture. If the coach is saying it, it's just Kool-Aid, right? So, I mean, I'm glad they feel that
it's
way.
True, and, though.
You know, like I said, I mean, I was fortunate to be under, you know, such good leaders and John and Jeff for, you know, 18 years and to pull different things from them. I mean, they're both very different head coaches. And I feel like I was able to observe both of them and pull a lot of positives from both of them, very different things, because they both had different styles. But I know the things that, you know, I took from them are valuable traits and characteristics for me going forward as a head coach. And I think just being genuinely yourself is always just really important. And if you have that base of relationship, then I think you're able to be extremely honest with players. And that's something that we really try and hang our hat on, is getting to know our players. And there's a lot of different ways we do that on and off the field so that we can build trust. And then you're able to really coach them hard, and they understand that, okay, he's saying this for my good. And if you're saying it in a way that the player can understand and appreciates, then you've got a lot better chance to make them the best football player that they can be, which then in turn is going to make you the best team that you can be. I kind of think of it as like a Christmas gift, where you might have the same message, and in this instance, the same gift to give somebody, but you've got to wrap it in different ways so that they look at that gift and they're enticed to open it and to receive it. Otherwise, they're just going to walk right past it. So, you know, you've got, you know, John Thorne, you know, always said you got to coach every kid differently. And he was saying this back in 2004,
mm-hmm.
way before we were into, you know, all the different types of, you know, I would say headwinds that we face as head coaches now, and challenges with youth. You know, kids are still kids. I don't think kids are different or change. I think just the circumstances and the things they have to deal with are way different than even five years ago before COVID, and
yeah.
Certainly 10 or 15 or 20 years ago when me and, you know, old guys like me and you were in athletics, you know, it would have been a different world people have phones out everywhere, videotaping everything. It's just a different world in that sense. I don't think kids are necessarily different. You know, I'm raising two little boys and they're products of what mom and dad teach them. It's been one of the most astounding enlightenments of my life is, you know, raising kids and just seeing, holy cow, like whatever they say and do, I mean, you know, while they're young, before they kind of can make their own decision, so to speak, is just so much what they're seeing and who's raising them. But that's going to affect who they are down the road. And I think as a coach, if you understand, particularly for us, you know, because we get young men from all over the country, from different situations, from, you know, rich to poor to, you know, middle class, lower middle class, upper middle class, farm, urban, rural, we get it all. And I think you have to be able to account for that in your coaching, in how you're dealing with kids. Otherwise, you're just going to create this black and white way of doing things, which is going to shut out a population of these guys you work really hard to get. You know, for us, we work real hard to get, you know, these kids here, for them to get great aid packages and to make it possible and to, you know, produce this experience for them that is as positive and is as impressive as it can be, you don't want to ruin it then by just saying, well, my way or the highway. It's not that we don't have standards and rules and regulations. We absolutely do.
Let me ask you a building question off of what you just said there. So you get kids from all walks of life, and they're coming into an established culture. They're coming into a championship culture. What is your onboarding process? And when you say that, you know, 100 plus kids in a program, and there's 100 different individual programs for each kid, how do you onboard everybody to those standards and values to get their arrows pointing in the same direction?
Yeah, it's something as a staff, we spend a lot of time talking about and a lot of time planning. Certainly you want to try and, you know, hedge your bets the best you can by having as many touch points with freshmen coming in as possible. So whether that's inviting them to, you know, spring practices or like a tailgate, you know, then when they're up here for orientation, seeing them, even if it's, you know, fitting them for pads, it's just any sort of touch points you can get. We put our young guys all get put into the current players' teams, and we'll have those current players and leaders run meetings through Zoom over the off season. And, you know, obviously there's voluntary workouts in the off season in the summer that they can come to and start to get to know the players and, you know, just see familiar faces. And then day one, you know, they have a big brother that helps them move in and gets to know them, meets their parents, and, you know, kind of takes them under their wing there for a little bit so that, you know, they feel like they have kind of a older companion, so to speak. And then when they're here, they have kind of a chain of command. If there is an issue or they're homesick, you know, with your big brother, somebody in your position group, your position coach, and then ultimately the head coach, so that, you know, they can feel some insulation, so to speak.
Yeah.
When they get here, you know, we provide all kinds of safety nets for them, you know, academically, off the field and in the community. But those might not necessarily be triggered unless there's some warning signs. So, you know, we have to really rely on our older players and great communication. And again, this is where it goes back to having great relationships with your team.
Yeah.
You know, if you can have an older player come in and say, hey, I'm worried about so-and-so, just his demeanor's changed, how he's acting in meetings has changed. Those can be indicators that, you know, something's off. Of course, the campus has different alert systems in place that anybody can put alerts in on guys. But I think just the more you can get to know each other, the better we're going to be. One of my favorite, you know, pastors, Judah Smith, pastors on the West Coast to a lot of pro athletes and famous actors and singers. And he always says, we're more alike than we are different.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. And I think the devil waits in miscommunication, you know, so if there's gaps in communication or there's lack of communication, that's where problems can pop up. So we always talk about using precise words, precisely communicating at a high level that can mitigate situations. And that can also, you know, help players to, you know, onboard. One thing that we do that's been great, and I think it was actually a suggestion of one of our captains or players a few years ago, was, you know, when we're in camp, when our guys go into the dining hall for meals, they're not allowed to have their phones at the tables. So, you know, like our GAs will collect the phones in bins by position. And so they're at tables. You have to communicate. You got to talk to your teammates. And our guys really loved it. That a lot of them continue to do it throughout the year. They just kind of stack the phones in the middle of their table and talk. I'll joke with our guys all the time. If I see them in the dining hall or, you know, outside our facilities or wherever, and if their nose is in their phone, I'll just kind of put my arm around them and smile and say, hey, get into the real world. Kind of joke with them. They know I'm joking with them. Phones aren't inherently bad. There's nothing wrong with them. They're a great tool. I mean, we all have computers in our pocket. How great is that? But if you don't use it for the right reasons, it can desocialize you, I guess, for lack of a better term. So we just try and create a lot of situations and shared experiences for our players to have opportunities to talk. And, you know, whether it's through our Cardinal Manual meetings or other shared experiences off the field, building relationships is really key. And I think it's ironic because I get to sit here and talk to hundreds of families and recruit, you know, one-on-one, and I could probably draw two circles and have kids tell me what their experiences are like, what is their junior senior mix like, what are the off the field experiences like for them from their high school. And I could tell you exactly which kids came from winning programs and which ones came from losing programs, because they're all the characteristics, the things they did are exactly the same. You know, winning cultures and programs and institutions and organizations do the same things, and losing ones do the same things too. You know, Nick Saban's quote of, you know, mediocre people hate high achievers and high achievers hate mediocre people is probably about as accurate as a quote there ever was. You can really divide. I mean, it's just astounding to talk to these young men when, you know, they're still 17, 18 years and they're old and they're seniors in high school. Like the kids that come from successful programs, all those coaches, they're all doing the same things.
Right.
And the ones from programs that have been struggling, same things. It's really fascinating as a head coach of a college program to be recruiting these kids and talk to them. Yeah. There's really not too many secrets in football.
That's an interesting perspective. That's a really interesting perspective that you get to see, because you really do get this large sample size of a lot of kids and the different backgrounds. And for those who are listening, just to kind of elaborate on what Coach was talking about, that Cardinal manual, this is something that actually we're fortunate to have one of Coach's former players in our program. And it's something that we're going to be adopting into our program. And Coach, this is, the players lead this. They have these talking points and they have meetings as a unit, and they go through this as a player led project. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's from the old, you know, Jim Tressel did it back when he was the head coach at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. It was called the Champions Manual or Winner's Manual.
Yeah. Winner's Manual, yeah, something like that.
Book. And when, you know, to give credit where credit's due, Coach Thorne, Jeff, implemented it with our offense in 2009. And that year we had the number one offense in the country. The next year our defense implemented it in 2010. And I think we had the number one or number two defense in the country that year. So.
So you're saying if we implement it, we'll have a full on offense?
Coincidence or confirmation? I don't know. But anyway, it was, you know, Coach Thorne brought it to the table, you know, back in 2009. And that was way before it kind of became a normal thing for people to do these types of activities. But yeah, it's been a great thing in our program. And I know the other programs that have used it, you know, high school programs or college programs, all speak very positively.
Well, what I've heard from the way that it was implemented was it just created this player-led culture of accountability. And when you talk about the cell phone usage, we've actually started to employ that in our weight room. And it was brought by one of your former players into our program and discussed with the kids, and the kids decided they don't want cell phones in the weight room anymore. They felt like it was a distraction. And it, like you said, it's that connection and that communication. It's amazing how many problems are solved when there's effective, clear communication. And it's amazing how many problems arise when there's a lack of communication. Nothing good fills that space. Coach, I know you're short on time, so I got one final question for you. What is more challenging, building success or sustaining it?
I think building success takes longer. I think sustaining it is harder. You know, after we won our first national title, I remember the next morning I woke up and I had a text from the defensive coordinator of one of the teams that we had beaten in the playoffs that year. And that program has many, many, many national titles. And all I said was, congrats, coach, you guys deserve it. Second one's harder than the first. And it's kind of like, oh boy. But it's true. I think staying on top of the mountain has totally different challenges and expectations than when you're climbing it. But at the same time, I love being where we're at. I love having that challenge, because when you're trying to build, there's just so many things that you have to attack and you have to change, so many, which when you have that many things to get turned around, you can kind of just, well, let's attack this year or this day. And if you've won at the highest level, I think sometimes folks think it's like, right. Oh, just copy paste, let's do it. But that's just so far from the truth. If you want to keep having success, if you do the same things, you're going to get the same results. And you got to remember that, you know, anybody who's quote unquote behind you, they're going to be changing, adapting, enhancing. If you're just sitting there doing the same things over and over again, well, that gap is getting smaller because the folks behind you are catching up. You have to continue to find, you know, the smallest of details and enhancements to keep moving forward. You know, I always say the space at the top of the ceiling is a lot smaller because what you're looking for and what you're trying to adjust. And I like to say enhance instead of change, because I just think as men, we don't love the word change. But I think also people get freaked out when you say change, when really you could just be talking about enhancing or adjusting something. When I took over this program, there was nothing that had to necessarily change. It's just, you have to take things, and it's your responsibility as a head coach to continue to move forward, continue to enhance, continue to find ways to adapt and be more efficient, and certainly change with technology and change as, you know, kids, you know, have different challenges.
Right.
But it's not like overhauling. It's really just, to me, moving forward. If you want to move forward, you have to take steps. You can't stand still. So I think, you know, long answer for a short question is, you know, I do think staying on top is more of a challenge, because then you have this little thing called complacency that you have to battle. And fortunately, we've got a great group of coaches and great group of players and administration here that understand that no one wants to be complacent. Nobody sets out and says, hey, we won a national title, let's be complacent. Everybody shows up. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to be an All-American. Everybody wants to win a national title. But not everybody wants to do the things that it takes to do that. And you have to be willing to do those hard things, which oftentimes it usually just boils down to hard work to keep improving. And so I kind of look at it like, hey, if it's going to make the experience for the players better, the lifestyle of our coaches better, and it's going to help us win football games, then it's probably something we need to look into. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. And
you as the head coach have to deliver that message of the enhanced mission, vision, and purpose every year. Because if you don't, complacency can set in, because at the end of the day, you're the one who has to keep pushing that pebble forward, correct?
Yeah, 100%. And I, you know, to me, it's, you know, if you see programs that have once had success and are, you know, maybe struggling, I don't think it's like complacency just set in at that moment. It happened. Cracks in the foundation happened way back. And that's where, as a staff and as a head coach, you have to continue to uphold your standard, you know, pull teammates up to the standard. And, you know, if you continue to hit your standards, then your standards are just becoming expectations. And now you've got to move the bar and push new standards. So as long as you keep your eye on that and you continue to demand and request the right way, the right thing out of your players, or do it again, then I think you're going to put yourself in a good spot to, you know, protect against that ugly word of complacency. You know, you just got to keep holding the standard. You know, again, I'm blessed to be in a situation with the staff I have and the players that we have, that we're all on the same page. And I think we all know where we're at. We all know where we're going and where the ship's aiming. That's a good place to be. When you get a bunch of high achievers together and you have a bunch of like-minded people who want to be elite in everything that they're doing, and specifically if we're talking about football, then that's a good thing. You know, iron sharpens iron, and you're going to be the average of the folks you're around, three folks you're around the most. So if you've got a bunch of great people surrounding you, then success is going to breed success. And that's what I feel like we're aiming to do here.
Coach, I cannot thank you enough. There was so much I could have asked you, but the answers you gave just gave so much insight to why North Central College is one of the premier college football programs in the nation at any level. Coach Spencer, thank you for your time today. And I wish you guys the very best of luck, and there's so many great pieces of operating systems that you gave, but I'll leave on this is total program alignment starts at the top, but it has to be facilitated into every nook and cranny by every stakeholder in that program. Coach, thanks for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure, Coach. And again, thanks for covering Cardinal football and promoting us. And hey, happy to do this again. And I have plenty of years of things to talk about North Central football. So there's no, I think you're cutting me off more than, you know, the other way around, but happy to be on it. Thanks so much. And appreciate the time.
Well, go Cardinals. I will say that for sure. Best of luck.
Go Cards.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Rob, another incredible interview here. So much to take away from Coach Spencer, and you have the task of boiling that down to some memorable takeaways. What did you get out of this interview with Coach Spencer?
It was a great hour spent with Coach Spencer from North Central College, and I kind of forgot I was doing a podcast midway through because I was so enthralled in taking notes, but some of the stuff I took away with was just listening to his 20-year experience and process of becoming a head coach. So often we think about the end game. We think about the other end of the rainbow when the confetti's falling and, you know, the trophies being handed to you. But 18 years as an assistant, getting him ready for the opportunity to take the leadership role as head coach. One of the things that really stood out with me that I've actually taken away since that podcast and trying to implement not only with my staff but with myself personally is being that horizon line and that sideline operating system that he talked about, and remaining calm for your players, giving them a consistent person every day. And that's something that for me personally, but also I think for a lot of head coaches out there, is we tend to take the day that we had and carry it with us across the lines potentially. And if our kids don't know the person that they're going to get from day to day, it creates an uncertainty, a lack of stability. And so that's something for me that I want to make sure that message gets across, is your kids need to know the coach that they're going to come into contact with every single day from a demeanor, attitude standpoint. That was something very important that I thought he talked about. And then really creating an opportunity and a comfort for your players to take chances. If you're going to be a coach who's asking the very best of your players, you have to respond in a way that's going to allow those players to succeed and fail and take those chances without repercussion of a response from the head coach. And then Brad alluded to just kind of knowing thyself. And he said that for his own personal operating system on a game day, he knows the coach that he has to be for himself to operate the best. And so often we fall into the ideology that we have to be somebody else when the lights go on so that other people see how much we care, demonstrative in nature, whatever it might be, but we get away from how we truly work the best. And that was something that Brad alluded to, of knowing how he is successful within his own body and within his own mind, something he learned up in the booth being an offensive coordinator that he successfully transitioned down to the sideline, I thought was extremely helpful and something I think coaches can really take away with. And then we kind of got into it towards the end about that Cardinal way and the out-of-season stuff that they do as a program to really build that onboarding system into the new recruits, presenting the program in its new addition to the current players. It's something I've spoken to his former players about in length, and it's truly, I think, next level. I think many of us are familiar with Jim Tressel and the winner's manual at Ohio State. This is very similar in nature, but the way they deliver it from a player-led standpoint in small group is something that I know for a fact our program here at St. Charles North is going to be implementing. We've actually already started it. And then I'm certainly going to be doing it in the summer, and I'm sure a lot of coaches might take something away from it. All in all, Brad Spencer is as good of a coach as there is in football, whether it's high school, college, or professional. And I just appreciated him lending some voice into his mind and how they lead over at North Central College.
It was another episode just full of ideas, full of insight into how you create a top-level program. And we have Alex Golish to wrap up the series, the head coach at South Florida. Another past guest, head coach Golish, on early in the podcast to talk about tight end development. He's a guy that I've seen grow through the profession, and some of my first experiences with him is when he was an assistant at Toledo, and they would come to BW and run their satellite camp there, and just always impressed with him as a guy who was just hustling and a very genuine guy. And so it's been exciting to watch him progress through the ranks as well. And I think it's going to be an incredible wrap up here to the Culture OS series.
Yeah, I was so honored that Alex agreed to come on. Him and I have had a relationship much like you, Keith, where, you know, doing this for 20 some odd years, you at this point of your career, you see some of those GAs become head coaches. And now some of them are head coaches at major college universities. And you kind of feel like you've been a part of that process because you've known that person on the recruiting trail, or maybe you visited them at different stops. And Alex was gracious enough to sit down with us for an hour and really kind of dive into what it's like being a head coach, taking over a program at that level. It's a different perspective than I expected just because of the scope and sequence of what you're trying to accomplish. And it's really high stakes poker. Like, you know, winning and losing makes a huge difference. And there's a lot of investment from a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. And Alex was certainly open and honest with his experience, and cannot wait for that one to get out next week.
Rob, appreciate the work you've done. Excited. But at the same time, sad that it's coming to a conclusion. Certainly look to do more of this in the future. But great job on everything you put together to this point.
Keith, thank you for this opportunity. It's been selfishly just a tremendous learning experience for me. I'll be a better head football coach and leader because of it. And I appreciate those who have listened to it. And thank you again.